Thank you. Thank you, Craig and Allison. Oh, so beautiful. And I'll pray you'll be our eyes and watch us where we go and help us to be wise in times when we don't know. Let this be our prayer. When we lose our way, lead us to the place. Guide us with your grace to a place where we'll be safe. God, I don't need to say another word, but I will. You know, I didn't grow up in a home where we prayed. Maybe some of you didn't have that experience either. No saying grace at meals and no bedtime prayers. My parents weren't very demonstrative or expressive. You know, in hindsight, I realized that they were actually agnostics or maybe even atheists. They had both survived World War II, my father on the battlefield having been shot twice, and my mother in the bombings, digging herself out of the rubble with my little sister, becoming refugees. I think any idea of God or prayer got lost during that time. And when they came to the United States and started a family, they both suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, so didn't leave much room for God or hope. But my father's family was a different story, my American farm family. When we got together on all the holidays, before we sat down to eat, we sang the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I loved it. I cherish the memory of my old aunts and my grandmother and all my cousins standing together with one voice singing this simple, simple prayer of thanks. And when we prayed in our little country church that my grandfather had built with the other settlers, I don't recall being taught to pray, but we prayed in church, and I probably just bowed my head like all the adults did and just closed my eyes, but I don't remember praying. And I know I said the Lord's Prayer, but it was probably by rote that I said it. But I do recall very fondly a hymn my grandma would sing to me, which some of you probably know. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Wow. Right? Oh, yeah. You know, other than those times, I don't remember spending time with God or with Jesus, but I do remember feeling the Holy One, the Divine Presence, God, as I walked in our fields and worked in the fields and walked in the pastures. And I remember feeling that something larger than me that was present in my life when I watched the seasons change, when I felt the sun upon my face. And then when I was a young adult, I was initiated into the Himalayan tradition of Raja Yoga. But we didn't pray. We chanted and we meditated. And I loved that, especially the devotional aspect of it. The sounds of the shlokas bringing us into closer proximity to the divine. Om Trayambakam Yajamahi Suganhim Pushtivardhanam Uvarukamiva Bandhanan Mrityo Mukshiya Mamrutat Om. That's a shloka to Shiva, Lord Shiva, that I especially like. But then all the years went by, and I sort of got lost in a lot of not good stuff, as I have told you about. And then when I crawled into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, my sponsor and the others made me pray, but I wouldn't have any of it. But I was forced to, and the prayers were very simple. It was a getting down on your knees in the morning saying, God, please help me. And at the evening before bed say, thank you, God. So I was finally saying my bedtime prayers in an abbreviated form. Yeah. But I was always alone. I was in my room in my little apartment by myself. And then I got this crazy idea to go to seminary. Yeah, leave New York, go to Chicago, go to seminary. So how can somebody doesn't pray go to seminary? Right? No problem. You become a Unitarian Universalist. The prayers go something like this. Dear me, I won't go on, you know. But I took classes, a number of them, at the Institute for Pastoral Studies at Loyola in Chicago, which is a Jesuit institution, really, really good. And I remember a course I was taking there on pastoral care, and all the students were Roman Catholic, except for me. And we were each assigned a week to open the class with a prayer. So I spent a lot of time like going, how am I going to get out of this? You know, what am I going to do? Maybe I could just be sick, or I didn't know what I was going to do. Finally, I fessed up to my classmates at break one evening, and I had to confess. I said, I don't pray. I meditate. And they all stopped for a moment, and they just looked at me, and they said, but that's prayer. And I was like, oh, duh, just like Trent was saying, duh, that time you spend with God is prayer, no matter what it is. And then I really got forced into a situation. I was taking clinical pastoral education at Northwestern Hospital. It was my first week, right? It's a very large hospital, and I got a page one evening saying that somebody was going in for surgery the next morning, and she wanted to see a chaplain. So I went up there, you know, and I knock on the door and I go in, and there was an older black woman in the bed. And she had had diabetes for years, and already it had one leg amputated, and the next morning they were going to take the other. And so I sit down with her and thinking that I'm going to help this woman, right? And so instead, before I could say anything, she says, so how are you? What are you doing? And I said, well, I'm just starting this week, and I'm a chaplain, and I'm learning how to do this. And she was just wanted to know all about it and said, oh, that's wonderful. God has called you to do this. And then, you know, the time was ending, and I know we were supposed to ask, do you want to pray now? And so I said that, do you want to pray now? Totally frightened, right? And she said, yes. So she reached up her hands from her bed and grabbed my hands, and before I could start, she said, oh, beloved God and Jesus, bless this man in everything he does. Bless his ministry. Help him with... And she went on like that. She prayed for me the night before she was going to lose her other leg. So that was an awakening for me, let me tell you. So anyone else here this morning struggle with prayer, or not sure what prayer is, have trouble praying? Yeah, a few people. It's okay. I mean, obviously we do, because you're not alone. We're going to show a clip from a movie in just a second from Eat, Pray, Love. Remember that 2010 film? Julia Roberts plays Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote a memoir in 2006. And it's in it, Liz, the lead character, has everything a modern woman is supposed to dream of having: a husband, a house, a successful career. Yet, like so many others, she finds herself lost, confused, and searching for what she really wants in life. She divorces and is at a crossroads, steps out of her comfort zone, risking everything to change her life, embarks on a journey around the world that becomes a quest for self-discovery. So in this clip, we're going to see that a night that she's really struggling what to do, whether or not to leave her husband and what to do with her life. So give us good volume, too.
Hadn't I wanted this? I had actively participated in every moment of the creation of this life. So why didn't I see myself in any of it? The only thing more impossible than staying was leaving. I didn't want to hurt anybody. I wanted to slip quietly out the back door and not stop running until I reached Greenland. Instead, I made a decision to pray. You know, like to God. And it was such a foreign concept to me that I swear I almost began with, "I'm a big fan of your work." Hello, God. Nice to finally meet you. I'm sorry I've never spoken directly to you before, but I hope I've expressed my ample gratitude for all the blessings you've given to me in my life. I'm in serious trouble. I don't know what to do. I need an answer.
Go back to bed, Liz. That was her answer. I just love that. She wanted God to tell her, yes, do this, 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 and this, right? But instead, she got the message, go back to bed. Just go back to bed. But who here has ever been on their bathroom floor on their knees like that, desperately and being forced to pray? Anybody? It doesn't have to be the bathroom floor. It can be anywhere. I know I have. Foxhole prayers. Yeah, you're driven through desperation. You can no longer do it yourself, so you're finally going to ask for help from the Almighty. And that's why I liked the reading for today from Romans that Jeannie read. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Sighs too deep for words. Anyone relate to that? That sometimes that's all you have, those sighs. They're not even words there, it's just that weariness, that anxiety, that tiredness, that desperation, that just being at the end of your rope. Those sounds, they come right from your gut. You know, and I like this passage because it's such a gentle recognition of the human condition in our weakness. You know that song, "I am weak, but he is strong." You know, that's you know, we're weak sometimes, and you know, we often put ourselves in a place where we have a barrier between us and God. We get caught up in our worries, in all the experiences of life, and then we aren't sensing the divine presence in all things because we're so caught up in the little stuff of life that really doesn't matter. I mean, it needs getting taken care of, but it really ultimately doesn't matter. Because when we're in right alignment with the divine, when we're in alignment with God, we're in the flow. And things are just right. Yeah. Just watch the little kids during the day. You know, here I've got that playground, my office is there, I hear them all the time, and I'll go out and look, and they're running around and playing. They don't need to pray. They don't need to pray because they haven't cut themselves off from God. They haven't done that yet. They're totally, fully in the experience of living, so therefore they're in the God space all the time. You know, but we're not little kids. We're complicated adults. In the poem that was read by Marie Howe, she talks about how everything seems more important than praying. Were you listening to it and able to follow along? Everything seems more important. All those things that crowd out God's voice and our ability to have a conversation with God. The distractions, the errands to run, the noises outside, our possessions, our impatience. So I'm here this morning because I believe in the importance of prayer. Prayer by ourselves, with our families, and in community. I believe that prayer needs to be at the center of our lives. And I want you to pray. I want us to pray. And the good news is that there's many kinds of prayer. There's no right way to pray. We start where we're at, just like Julia Roberts did. It's very simple. It's the intention that counts. There's a wonderful writer, Regina Sarah Ryan. She's a contemplative and a teacher who lives in Arizona. Teaches a lot down in Prescott. In 2001, she wrote this wonderful book called Praying Dangerously, Radical Reliance on God. And I've gotten so much out of it. And I'm going to read you this prayer, because this is the crux of what I want the take-home to be, all right? She said, "Oh God, I do not know how to pray, because I do not know what it means to pray properly, to pray in such a way as to serve or worship. I must offer what I have and can do as my prayer, and here it is. Let this posture be a prayer. Let this intention be a prayer. Let this very not knowing be the prayer. Let this breath be the prayer. Let this resistance and discomfort be the prayer. Let this distraction be the prayer. Let this drinking of tea be the prayer. Let this eating of breakfast be the prayer. Let this hectic schedule be the prayer. Let this attempt at remembrance be the prayer. Let the steps walked in silence across the parking lot be the prayer. Let the bird song noted be the prayer. Let this poor journal writing be the prayer. Let the vastness of the night sky be the prayer. Let worrying and then dropping the worrying be the prayer. Let chanting and dancing and reading be the prayer. Let dressing and undressing be the prayer. Let sleeping and rising and sleeping and rising again be the prayer. Let missing someone be a prayer. Let memories and whispered calls for help for others be the prayer. Let opening the door and putting on and taking off shoes be the prayer. Let the keeping of simple order be the prayer. Let the celebration of light and darkness be the prayer. Let warmth and cold be the prayer. All of it, not bad, not good, just as it is, and wondrous, all of it be the prayer. Oh God, in my helplessness, from nowhere, with nothing, let these poor prayers, as flowers, draw you to the garden from which their fragrances arise. Amen." Profound, right? Profound. We can add all kinds of things to the list. Let this changing of the baby's diaper be the prayer. Let the shoveling of the snow be the prayer. Let this commute on I-15 be the prayer. I mean, on and on. You can add your own. It's your life. The key is intentionality. The key is self-awareness. Prayer is a conversation with God. Prayer is keeping awareness of God while we go about our daily business, our daily tasks. Can you imagine how transformative that would be? instead of saying, oh, I'll pray when I have time, or I'll pray after I put the kids down tonight for bed, when I have a few moments alone, or I'll pray when I get home from work. What if we could all just live in prayer? Wherever we are, at our desks, in our cubicle, driving, everything, that be a prayer. Being consciously aware of God's presence at all times. You know, sure, sometimes we have a Julia Roberts moment, you know, we have a meltdown and we get driven to our knees in desperation, but we wouldn't have to go to that place if our lives were prayers. Then when we hit a rough patch, like the diagnosis of an illness, a loss of a job, the death of a loved one, we wouldn't have all that catching up to do. We'd be accustomed to talking with God, with feeling God's presence, with hearing God. I know a lot of you are probably saying, I hear your thoughts. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor Stephen. You get paid to do this. You get paid to pray. You're a minister. You went to seminary. But I tell you, my friends, it's your job to pray. Your job to pray. And it's our job to pray. Blessed be.